Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. It's just about 14 minutes after 12. And you know what? The most loved doctor on the airwaves is back. Dr. Safia Mohammed is here and ready to provide answers for all your medical questions. Broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105 FM and Sky 99.5 FM. Get in touch with your lunchtime doctor during the show. Call us at 627-3223 or 625-2257. You can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Good morning, Dr. Mohammed, and how are you doing today? Welcome to our show again.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I know we're continuing the morning into the evening time, Carrie.
Yes.
So good afternoon to all of our cherished listeners right here locked into your lunchtime doctor. Dr. Mohammed, here to answer your medical concerns. I know as we're coming to a close on the month of February, a lot of persons post-carnival have been messaging my phone, sharing on symptoms of this virus. Is it COVID? Is it not COVID? So we're going to address a lot of that on this program. But Carrie, I like the conversation you were having earlier on about love. Mm-hmm. We're still in the month of love. And
we are, frankly,
every day is a day for love.
Mm-hmm.
So how about today we take a vow of good health?
Nice. So guys, don't forget you can call us, you can ask Dr. Mohammed any medical question that you like. Our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257, and you can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065.
So Carrie, do you know there are actually health benefits to that thing called, that beautiful thing called love?
Really?
There are many different components. Yes!
Wow! All right!
Now, there is actually a neurotransmitter that's released when there is that bonding happening. Mm. And the most important bonding that we know is mother and baby. So when the mom actually delivers this baby, that couple moments, if there's lactation, if there's the baby placed onto the breast milk, on the breast to be able to breastfeed,
mm-hmm.
a hormone is released and it's called the oxytocin surge. That hormone is actually, it has been suggested that as the love hormone, and it plays an important role in social relationships, behaviors, and it has many healing properties.
Mm.
So this love hormone, they have shared, it actually can reduce anxiety, as in have anxiolytic properties.
Mm.
It can even reduce depression. And there are even a lot of different studies that look at those who have in healthy, happy, loved relationships, because we know we could be in long relationships that are not necessarily healthy, but those that are in healthy relationships that can actually increase one's longevity or life expectancy. So there are tons of good properties to experiencing love. And you said something very important early on. Love is not just the expression between husband and wife. Love is between parent and child. Love is between good friends. Love is between business, different relationships, different, you know, different, so many different arrangements. So one can experience love. And of course, there's even love with your pets.
Yes.
So all of those things have a host of health benefits. Do you know they actually use pets as healing when it comes to taking care of sometimes kids with leukemia, kids with cancer? They just have somebody's pets there where the kids can actually pat them, and that has proven to produce such calming effects on children, lowering their blood pressure, lowering their heart rate. So there's so many different types of love one can experience, and of course there is a host of health benefits.
Now, doctor, we have a message here from on WhatsApp. Hello, doctor. Hello, Carrie V. I am a 40-year-old female and inside my nose is dry, crackly, and very red in color, and very painful. Any help?
So when it comes to any sort of dryness within the nostrils, mm-hmm. we're not too sure if you're also experiencing some sort of allergic reaction. Most times, most persons may have some sort of atopia or some sort of, any sort of where they have what Trinidadians refer to as sinusitis. Mm-hmm. And this is where we can utilize some nasal drops. You want to hydrate the area. You want to moisturize the area. Because if it's feeling that dryness, it's not only going to be irritable, it's also going to be, as the patient shared, it's going to feel sore. So you want to, you can utilize your nasal drops. You can utilize, even if you have a home humidifier or a misting, or just some sort of steamer. You want to be able to bring back some natural lubricants to the nasal passageways.
Mm. All right. Guys, you can call us 627-3223, 625-2257. The most loved doctor on the airwaves is back. Dr. Safiya Mohammed is here and ready to provide answers for all your medical questions. Broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM. You can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Get in touch. This is The Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Safiya Mohammed.
Now, since Carnival has now passed us, we are getting so many messages where to go back and do your COVID testing if these are signs and symptoms. So I want to jump straight into some of these signs and symptoms. Let's just remind everyone, we're not yet out of this pandemic. And while you're better managing your signs and symptoms, it still has that contagious property of the virus. So if you're experiencing fever, if you're experiencing any sort of upper respiratory symptoms, and that may be a nasal congestion, stuffiness, if you're feeling that drippy, runny nose or cough, it could be a dry cough, it could be a hacky cough. If you're also experiencing, most persons in the first stage of COVID had that loss of taste. In this new variant, you may not experience that, but some persons are still having that dryness of the mouth. So all of these are symptoms of the virus, and it's most likely COVID. Now, here's a question I'm getting a lot, Carrie. Mm-hmm. Persons are saying, well, doc, I did the home kit test and it's negative, but I'm experiencing these symptoms. Do I have COVID or not? My answer to everyone, it's treat it as COVID until proven yes. otherwise. The PCR is your gold standard test. Mm-hmm. If your home kit said negative, that mm-hmm. does not necessarily mean you're negative. Yeah. It may just be the body has not produced enough antigens mm-hmm. to have the test go to the positive side. Right. But if you're experiencing these signs and symptoms, treat it as COVID, and let's not try to share it around to other people. Yeah. So let's do the responsible thing. Mm-hmm. Stay at home, isolate if need be, let your employer know so that you can at least get that time to be rested and not spread it to other persons.
Let's take this call. Hi, good morning, you're live. Hi, good morning, you're live. You need to lower your volume on your radio a bit and try us back. All right? 627-3223, 625-2257. It's The Lunchtime Doctor. Get in contact. Get in touch with Dr. Safiya Mohammed. She would be able to answer any medical questions that you have. That's 627-3223, 625-2257. You can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Dr. Mohammed?
And we want to know what's on your lunchtime plate. Now, most persons would have indulged a little too much during the carnival time. Now, let's get back on track.
Yes. Let's see who's here. They are calling back. Let's see who's there, right?
Excellent.
Hi, good morning. You're live?
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I'm calling. I'm having a neck pain on the left side of my neck. Mm-hmm. I'm a female patient, mm-hmm. 85 years old. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling and for trying to get through to and connected to the station. Now, you shared your age, which is 85. Neck pains on the left side, always I'm very concerned because it could be cardiovascular related. If you're also experiencing a tightness of the chest or that pain in the neck and that is going up to the jaw, or if it's extended down the left arm or piercing towards the back, then that's what we call chest pain consistent with a heart attack, or we call that a myocardial infarction type pain. That is, we want that to get checked out right away. If it is neck pain that you're experiencing first thing in the morning, it may be from some sort of arthritic process, probably sleeping badly. So let's make sure we understand what is the type of pain, how badly it's affecting you, and if there's anything that helps relieve it. Some persons even can get pain coming up if there's any sort of associated reflux. So if there's GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, they may feel that burning in the chest coming up to the neck, and they may think it's just neck pain, but it could be related to reflux. So let's see what the other associated symptoms are. But if it's related to that first one I mentioned, any sort of cardiovascular chest related pain, please, I urge you, get it checked out right away.
And let's take this next call. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Abibi, you chumming and go with me.
Okay, then, not a problem. Let's take this other call. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
A very good afternoon to you, doctor. Doctor, what causes premature aging? What causes premature aging? Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, caller. We have some very intuitive callers that like to get in-depth medical information. So thank you so much. Now, there are a host of things that can cause premature aging. But you want to know what's the number one cause, Carrie?
No, what is it?
Stress. Stress can affect every single organ of the body. Stress can change the way our skin appears, the way our hair is, our heart rate, affect our lungs, affect our digestion, affect our eating habits, our sleeping habits, our energy levels. Stress can lead to premature aging. There are also some environmental factors that are preventable. Now, we know the stress is preventable, but some may say we learn to live with stress and trying to prevent it. But let's look at what is preventable. Smoking is one of those toxins that can alter the skin on your face, on your lips. And it's very much preventable. You see, smoking can break down that collagen in the lips, within the face, and also lead to that premature aging. Another thing, too much alcohol drinking, and then all of the unhealthy habits we talk about, unhealthy eating, poor sleep, all of that can lead to premature aging. However, the one that we would like to make sure we get under control is stress. So Paul, I hope that answers your question. And I know that we probably have just about every listener here saying, but how do we prevent stress?
And I have a few messages here from on WhatsApp. Let me read this one. Good afternoon, Dr. Muhammad. Good afternoon, Carrie V. I listen to you every day from my workplace in New York. My question is, I sit all day at a desk, started to get joint pain, unable to do my activities like I used to. Any suggestions?
So first and foremost, you've already identified the main trigger there. Sitting for too many hours at a desk will lead to that sedentary lifestyle. So even while you're at the desk, if you can do some gentle exercises at the ankles, some gentle exercises even at the knees, Or if you can take that short break, a 5-minute break, go up and down the stairs even, or just shift around. If you can with your desk, you know, there are these standing desks where you can actually have the laptop at a higher level,
yeah,
and not have to be seated all the time.
Yeah.
They consider in all of the health reviews, the institutions, that sitting is the new smoking, that sitting is as deadly to your body as smoking is. So as much as we can, setting that little breaks to get some mobility, to get some movements in.
Another message. Hi, Doc. I am 20 years old. I've been struggling with anxiety for a few months now. Any tips on how to reduce or control its effects?
Now, when it comes to anxiety, first and foremost, thank you so much for being brave to message us about it. Thank you for acknowledging and not stigmatizing it.
Mm.
I want to share to you that there isn't a person I know that doesn't have some level of anxiety in some sphere or the other. So first and foremost, let me give you my ABCs. A is exactly as you have, being aware of it. So let's look at what are the triggers or what brings about. Knowing what may trigger the anxiety can give you a better ability to control it. B, let's go into something practical, an exercise that can help you in the moment handle or stabilize yourself in if you're feeling anxious. And that's breath. Being able to just go into some deep breaths. Too often, Carrie, we breathe quite shallow.
Mm.
We breathe at about 1/3 of our lungs.
Mm.
But let's take a deep breath, hold it, and then have a deep exhalation.
Mm.
Even if you do that for, say, 5 times, that's just 1 minute. That in itself can bring down your heart rate and give you a better ability to manage that anxiety.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, so this is your ABCs. C, control what you can, release or relinquish what you can't. So as we're saying that, an alarm just went off in the building here. I certainly can't control that alarm, but I can control the response I give to that alarm, right? So control what you can and relinquish what you can't. Sometimes, and I say this being a previous ICU doctor, where every single detail I was accustomed controlling. And then came my little son, and you realize that you absolutely can't control everything. So sometimes you cannot control things.
Yes.
So identify, where is that anxiety? Is the anxiety at home? Is the anxiety in the workplace? Is the anxiety because of procrastination? Is the anxiety because of fear? Is the anxiety because of lack of esteem or confidence? And know that it's okay to talk to someone that you feel a safe space with. Talk to someone that you won't feel judged. Even if you have to say those words and say, you know, auntie, uncle, or best friend, or whatever it is, even your priest, your pastor, your imam, you want to share something with them, but you want them to be open in this conversation and let them know this is how you're feeling. More and more, I'm seeing even young persons opening up, and I commend it. But we, as the older persons, have to know how to be able to listen. So to anyone who's tuning in here, if you have a younger person, or anyone in fact, coming to you sharing that they are feeling anxious, just be calm. Offer the listening ear. Not always do we have to offer a solution. Sometimes just giving them the space to ventilate can provide an open, non-judgmental space that they will feel valued and help release that anxiety.
Yes.
Hope that answers the question.
The most loved doctor on the airwaves is back. Dr. Sophia Muhammad is here and ready to provide answers for all your medical questions. You can call me 627-3223, 625-2257. Dr. Muhammad, my phone lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree and messages are just coming in. So let's jump straight into the call. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Hi, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I'd like to find out something, please.
Sure, no problem.
If something falls in someone's toe and it's blue-black, what shall they use?
All right.
What I heard was blueback. Is it that?
She said if something fell on someone's toe, and their toe turns blueback, what should they do?
Well, first and foremost, that is some sort of bleeding happening within either the nail bed or the nail tissue itself. And that's why there is that blue-black color. That would mean some sort of capillaries would have been damaged. If it's right in the same moment, you need to either put some sort of that RICE methodology. Rest, ice, compression, elevation. Either you put some ice it or something cold to the area. You want to elevate the toe. And of course, you want to rest it. If you continue to walk on it, it can worsen it. I don't know the extent of the injury, but if you're not able to walk properly on it, it may have had some sort of damage to the bony structure, and you may need to get some sort of x-ray or some further treatment to the toe. So if it continues, if that blue-black color continues, please get it checked out.
Okay, let's take this other call. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Yes, doctor, it's I again. Doctor, what causes goiter? What causes goiter? Thank you.
You got that, doctor?
I think he said goiter or gout. So I'm not too sure which one he said. I'm going to go with the one I think he said, which may be goiter. Now, that goiter is quite an interesting terminology. It's that lump we see on person's throat, a swelling. It may be their thyroid hormones are a little bit off whack, and that needs to be adjusted. Or it may be a nodule related to a cancer or not related to a cancer, but it certainly needs investigating. A good little way to get that checked out is drink a little bit of water, watch yourself in the mirror, and as you're swallowing and you're seeing that that swelling moving, then that certainly is a goiter within the throat, and it does definitely, you need to get a healthcare professional at least to do a physical examination and probably a couple blood investigations like the thyroid hormones, so we can get a better control of that goiter.
Hi, doctor. I am 74 years old, and recently my fingers are tingling at the tips. What is the suggestion for this?
Just last week, we were talking about this, and we mentioned this tingling quite often. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that you're 74 years old. By chance, are you also with any other comorbidity like diabetes or hypertension? With our diabetic patient, we see that tingling, which is called paresthesia, quite often with patients who have some level of neuropathy. That's where the sugar levels are not consistently controlled, and that tingling can not only happen in your fingers, it can also happen in the lower limbs. So it could be diabetes if you need to have a better control of that. Or some persons, if it's the fingers we're talking about, if there's some level of cervical spondylosis, that can transmit all through down the arms and present with a tingling on the fingers. So definitely let's get it checked out before it worsens and it becomes not just tingling, but complete numbness and loss of sensation in the hands.
Good afternoon, doctor. I would like to know what causes a person to lose rapid weight loss and feelings, weeks of no appetite. Is that something to be concerned about? Thank you.
Definitely. Any kind of rapid weight loss is one we want to go to a healthcare professional right away, your GP, whoever it is you want to go to, your family doctor, because that is consistent with ill health. There are a host of different disease processes. The one we must rule out is a cancerous process, a malignancy. And I don't like to be the bearer of bad news, but weight loss is one of the most consistent signs we see with any patient with cancer. The other thing we'd want to rule out is, just like I mentioned, that thyroid hormone. A patient who is hyperthyroidism can also present with a rapid weight loss. I'm not too sure what your eating patterns are, so we'd want to find that out as well. But please, rapid weight loss, get that checked out.
Nice. Good afternoon, Carrie V and Dr. My 13-year-old daughter sometimes pass blood in her stool, and sometimes, again, it's normal. Can you relate?
Thank you so much for sharing. So 13 years, blood in the stool is absolutely not normal. Yes, 13 years. If it's a female and she's having her menstrual cycle and there isn't that proper wipe from the front to the back, and that's where you may think there may be blood in the stool, that's okay. But if there's absolute blood in the stool, we need to get that properly checked out. It may be that there may be a minor tear within the perianal area. It may be a small hemorrhoid. It may be a polyp. But anything that shows us blood in the stool at that age, in fact, any age, needs to be checked out.
Mm. Good afternoon, Doc. I'm 45 years of age, and I would like to find out what causes the shocking feeling in your foot.
So that is exactly what we were talking about early on. That paresthesia, it is almost like a tingling. You may feel the nerves, you may feel that nervous sensation, and then all of a sudden you may not get that sensation. Mm. That may happen if someone is having cramping, tingling, or any sort of paresthesia within their lower limbs. It could be a diabetic neuropathy or a hypertensive neuropathy. I'm not too sure which one is off. There are other things that we'd like to get checked out. Even patients with lower back or lower motor neuron disease can also present with that paresthesia. However, bottom line, it's a sign, it's a symptom. We must get checked out sooner rather than later, because anything involving the nervous tissue will only degenerate and become worse.
Mm. Let's take this call. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Hi, good afternoon, doctor. Over about a week ago, I began feeling pain in my right arm and my neck. Right? I checked my blood pressure. It was fine. But over the past week, I haven't received much ease in the pain. Is there anything, doctor, you can advise on how to proceed?
Thank you so much for calling in. I hear the concern in your voice and the mere fact that this pain has not settled in a week. I'm glad your blood pressures are normalized. However, while we are consistent with the cardiac-related pain on the left side, it could even be projected or transmitted to the right side. So one, I'd want you to get that checked out. I'll want you to get an ECG done sooner rather than later. And yes, thankfully your blood pressures are normal, but there are a few other little minor cardiovascular investigations that we'd want to do to just rule out any sinister cause. It could be arthritic in nature, it could be musculoskeletal in nature, it may be some sort of overwhelm or, you know, overuse of the muscle in some area or the other. But let's make sure we rule out the more important cause, which is a cardiovascular cause. Now, some persons may find I harp on this a little too much. Here's the why. I've seen with my own eyes a 34-year-old young man who ignored left-sided pain, right-sided pain, thought he was too young to be having a heart attack, and then he did, and now he's not here anymore. I've seen persons who did respond quickly, even at that young age. And thankfully, after the investigations, they were able to be, well, they were treated well. And yes, they're on cardiovascular medications now, but they're still here with us today. So we need to not take chest pain or any pain on the upper arm, upper right or upper left, for granted. So I hope that answers your question. I hope it doesn't put fear in, but concern that you'll get it checked out.
Let's take this call. Hi, good afternoon, Elife.
Yeah, good afternoon, Teddy Doctor and Kangbi.
Hey.
If you permit me, I would just like to give two pieces of advice, if I may. Okay. So, people... Hello?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Yeah. So people, visit your optometrist and get your eyes checked out. And while you are at the optometrist, right, there are several exercises that the optometrist can show you to do. Even eyes, your lid on your eyes, they have nerves. And if you not if you don't exercise them and keep the nerve active, it will sooner or later degenerate. So there are several, and also you need to get protection from the UV rays. You need to get polarized when you sunglasses for when you're in the sun, right? That protects your eyes. And there's also gels for dry eyes. I use one in Fresh, right? And it lubricates your eyes, and it has your eyes feeling cool and all this kind of thing. So the thing is, from the earliest sign that you have eye problems, go to your optometrist, get it checked out, and don't be afraid to ask questions, right? I think I was long on that, so I wouldn't go on to the other one.
Thank you so much, sir.
And you know, it's always nice when we hear patients telling other listeners exactly what their experiences are. Mm-hmm. You see that line, what he said? Don't be afraid, go to the doctor. Mm. Thank you so much,
and
sir,
that's
for that
what happened. I have another call. Let's see who's there. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Afternoon. What medication or eat for damage cartilage in the knees? And this thing about, because of constipation, eating too much apples, like 4 apples for the knee. Mm. I know if you eat too much pears, you get cirrhosis of the liver. But I'm not too sure about eating apples.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let me just debunk a few things there. No, eating too much pears will not cause a cirrhosis of the liver. So that's something we can completely debunk out. However, if you're diabetic, pears would not be one of the fruits I would want to have too much of, because there's a high glycemic index. Now, to jump into answering your question, in terms of cartilage on the knee, there is quite much fruits that I would want to apply to that. You want to make sure you get some glucosamine. You want to make sure you get some collagen into your diet. You can get that in your multivitamins. But if there's damage to the cartilage on the knee, you certainly need to be seeing an orthopedic doctor. They probably might be doing direct medications to the knee. You might probably also be involved in physiotherapy. That would help tremendously. Make sure you stay consistent with that physiotherapy.
We have another message here on WhatsApp. And guys, don't forget, you can get into the conversation. Our numbers are 627-3223-625-2257. And our WhatsApp number is 306-1065. This is the lunchtime, Doctor. Good afternoon, Doc and Carrie V. I am 62 years, a female. Little BP probs. Probably this, they're probably saying this is a small problem. I am not a diabetic. I spotted for 2 days, just spots. I have seen a doctor. I did an ultrasound and was requested. As requested, I had a 8 centimeter fibroid when I was in my 30s. Now it have multiple fibroids. I can't understand when I was told when I reached to menopause, it would dissolve. It is 5 centimeters to 1 centimeter. Please guide me accordingly.
Thank you so much for sending in that message. Now, at no point in time, and I'm really sorry if you were told that the fibroids would dissolve. That does not happen. I'm glad you went and you got it checked out, that bleeding. And I'm sure the doctor's day, either the clinic or wherever you did the ultrasound, will guide on the next steps. There are several different ways we can move forward with that. There are certain medications that can help shrink the fibroids, yes. There are, however, surgical processes. And I know the minute I say surgery, most persons tend to shy away. But we always start with the hormonal treatments first. And of course, if there's excessive bleeding, we want to ensure that your iron component is indeed restored. Note how heavy that bleeding is, because every time you do go to the doctor, that's a question that they would typically ask. Mm-hmm. You can also, through your diet, maintain or increase your iron supplementation, but the HairStay, the mainstay treatment for fibroid management, is indeed the surgical removal of those fibroids. Mm.
Doc, they wanted to know if there's any medication involved that they could take.
So yes, there are a few medications, well, but I won't be able to say the exact name over the radio. I am certain once you've done that ultrasound and you go to your doctor, they would look at the location of the ultrasound, they would look at all your different values and prescribe that medication for you.
Yes. We have another call. Let's take this one. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
What can I use to build up my immune system? Everything that passes around, I get in it.
Thank you so much.
You know, that's such a good question. Especially now.
Now, especially post-carnival.
So, up front, we need to be eating well. And we've talked about this over and over. Your fruits and vegetables, especially your vegetables, your green leafy vegetables, your eat from the colors of the rainbow. So when you think of red, your tomatoes, oranges, your carrots, pumpkins, purples, your melon jeans, green, your green leafy vegetables, your sweet peppers, blue, your blueberries. Eat from the colors of the rainbow and you'll get the host of multivitamins. Mm. Let's not forget some seafood in there, salmon, sardines. They give you really good antioxidant powers. Mm. My favorite thing, what I call my immune booster, in the morning I have my cup of tea. I grate some ginger in it. If I may feel, I may sometimes add some grated cinnamon to it. All of that is as natural as possible, and there is a host of antioxidant properties with ginger, with turmeric, with, as I mentioned the first one, your cinnamon. Mm. These things can, of course, ease your digestion as well. We don't want to be saying we're eating well and then adding a host of processed foods. Mm. No, no, no. Sugar is also one you want to try to stay away from. Because it's an anti-inflammatory, right? It will cause more inflamed aspects within your body. Mm. That will compromise your immune system in every way possible. Mm. If you can, get some exercise in there. That is also a great immune booster. Mm. We mentioned that thing called stress. Managing your stress, be it by yoga, meditation, some walking, gardening, anything. But let's look first and foremost at your nutrition. You know, we really underestimate how important nutrition is. Carrie, I'm sure you've heard the line. Food is medicine, and your medicine can be your food.
Yes.
Now, I'm a keen advocate of utilizing our medications, but wherever you can, let's be as natural as possible.
Yeah. Hello, doctor. Hi, Carrie V. Hope you guys are okay. What's your opinion on a woman trying to have a baby after the age of 45? I'm seriously considering a third child at age 47. My partner is 53, and we are both in excellent health with no health challenges. Can this be a risk for me and the baby?
Now, I like that you shared it's you and your partner that are considering it, and you're both in excellent health. Your gynecologist or the obstetrician would really be the one to assess and say if you're fit for pregnancy. However, if you already feel that you're in good health condition, there shouldn't be any serious risks if it's not your first baby. It's really the first pregnancies, if that is an advanced maternal age, that can indeed put a risk for both you and your baby's life. But if you've already gone through pregnancy, then this is either a second or third maternal attempt, then the risks are much reduced. We do know, however, that the musculature, the structure, is not as strong as it was before at prime pregnancy age, which is 25. However, at this age, based on your level of fitness, your level of your health, your quality of life and your health, let your obstetrician make that decision. And if you feel that you're in a committed relationship, that you really want to go ahead for this next baby, I am in full support.
Nice. Guys, the most loved doctor on the airwaves is back. Dr. Safiya Mohammed is here and ready to provide answers for all your medical questions. Broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, 5CT 105 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM. Get in touch. You can call us at 627-3223, 625-2257, or you can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Doctor, we have a call. Let's see who's there. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Baby.
Come on, man. There's not the time or the place for that, man. Hi, doctor. Good afternoon.
Someone sent in their message on what's on their lunchtime plate. And they said they're having barbecue. Is that healthy? So, yes, grilled foods certainly are. But anything that has too much charring, you know, like the really intense amount of barbecue, you want to stay away from that because those can have some compounds that can indeed be damaging to your health. So grilled foods, sure. Over-grilling, let's stay away from that.
Hi, doctor. Good afternoon. Can you explain how ovulation tests work? I am trying to conceive.
Now, when it comes to the ovulation test, we really look at the level of the hormones that the body would be producing at different types of cycles. I'm glad you're in that state of when you're trying to conceive. There are a couple apps, actually, that can actually help you track when, okay, in terms of what day you're on the cycle. And it looks at also a number of other symptoms. It would look at your temperatures. It would look at the mucosal layers. You'd have to put in that information. And that's how some of these tests, we really look at the hormonal levels. That's what it looks at in terms of getting your prime ovulation time.
I'm using the Premom app. She just went on to say that she's using the Premom app.
That's a very good app. Yes. And I'm going to put all my prayer and energy into making sure to give you best of wishes with this particular conception.
We are getting a call. Let's see who is there. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
A pleasant good afternoon to the doctor and to the host. Don't remember my name often, but that's okay.
Carrie, that's okay.
Yes. Thank you. Doc, since after, I just want to know what could be the cause. Now, experiencing this since after I had COVID. I had COVID in 2021. But I had what they call a mild, well, let's say mild. I had loss of smell and loss of taste. But I find like if like I lift up like anything heavy, weight or anything wise, I feel like tightness in my throat area like that. So I did the doctor advised that I did a thyroid function and a THS, and it came back good. So I was wondering what could be the cause of this, that tightness, and like anything heavy in particular. It ought to be extra heavy, but anything with a little weight, and I apply a little pressure, and I feel like tightness in the neck area, more on the sides and that kind of thing. How listen off here. Thank you very much in advance.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in. Now, what we've seen in a lot of our patients with COVID is that there's symptoms of long COVID. So even after COVID have cleared, there's still some sort of viral asthenia, that's muscle weakness. And that they experience any part of the body. It could be the neck muscles, it could be the chest muscles, it could be the thighs. Some persons have not yet returned back to their level of fitness because of this muscle asthenia. The aim for it or the recovery process is just to continue some level of physiotherapy. If you're feeling that chest tightness or lung problems, you want to get a pulmonary function reserve test. That will actually look at the pulmonary function capacity and see how much is your in-depth breathing, both inhalation and exhalation. That may probably be the case, not necessarily the thyroid. Thyroid is more neck itself and that's more hormonal in basis. I'd probably want to just double check your pulmonary function reserves and of course probably a full chest x-ray just to see what the lungs are looking like. Hope that answers the question. I want you to continue to engage in some level of exercise and just give yourself that reservation that you will return to normal functioning.
And guys, we are just about 2 minutes away from 1 p.m. And as we close off this show and we wrap off this episode of the Lunchtime Doctor, I have one more message for you, Dr. Mohammed. Hi, good afternoon. What can you use for sinus if you breastfeed?
So you want to stay away from any sort of medications that has an antihistamine, because that will not only cause you to be drowsy, but baby to be drowsy. So again, you can use your home humidifier or some sort of steaming. That will certainly help clear up the sinuses. You want to stay away from any sort of Puritan or any things like that, because that will definitely pass on to baby if you're breastfeeding. So yes, Carrie, can you believe the hour passed by so quickly
and my lines are still lighting up?
And we've answered questions from neck pain to goiter to just about all across the body.
Yeah.
I want to leave just two messages for everyone to remember. That one, we're still going through COVID, so still understand your level of responsibility and be cognizant of your risk around you. Join us tomorrow morning on Morning Brew, just about 7:20, 7:30, where we're going to continue the conversation, but live on TV, and then right here at 12 o'clock for your lunchtime, Doctor.
Thank you so much, Dr. Safiya Mohammed. Join us Monday to Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. for answers to all your healthcare questions. We will be broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.